Sokala Duma Radio. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are still tuned in to Sokala Duma Radio. Tonight, we'll be discussing, tonight, we'll be discussing Pule Extend. We have a general here today with us, Umasebe Clay. Now, I have to welcome him into our studio. Budmasebe, welcome to Sokala Duma Live. How are you?
Very well, thanks, man. How are you doing? Good to be here.
Yeah. It's very good to be here. Some of these gentlemen, I grew up reading their articles, but I'm sitting here with them to, this afternoon. Budmasebe, you ran a story Wednesday with regards to Upule Extend. He said quite a lot. He said quite a lot in his story. We also had a chat with Ufarukan, a former development coach at Kaizer Chiefs, with regards to Upule Extend. I think we'll have to play our interview with him before we welcome Umasebe Klina onto the show.
Sokala Duma Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, now we've got former Kaizer Chiefs youth development coach on the line, Mr. Farouk Khan. Farouk, welcome to Sokala Duma Radio. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you doing?
We are fine. We are fine, Mr. Farouk. Farouk, look, you were at Kaizer Chiefs for a very long time, especially at their youth development team. You produced good players such as your Philani Kubeka, your Gerald Sibeko, who went on and became big-name players at the club. During your time at the club, how were those players welcomed to the senior team?
Well, I think the welcoming was very, very positive. I think at the time, the relationship that I had with the first team coach, Mushin Etigral, was such where the players were made to feel welcome. They were well received by everybody. And they were well-developed players. They were completely able to make the transition from the academy to the first team. They just didn't go to the first team and sit on the bench. Mushin was able to use Isaac Mabotsa, Tlantla Kubeka, Gerald Sibeko, Jabu Pule, and the list is endless of the players that he was able to use. Sikakani was also a player that stood out. So these players just didn't go there to the first team and make up the numbers. They played an active role in the first team.
Sure. Now, when it comes to these players being treated, you spoke about your relationship with Coach Mushin Etugral at the time. Now, these players going from the development to the senior team, how did the club treat them as compared to those so-called senior players, if I should put it that way?
Well, they were treated fairly. They were given the respect that they deserve based on their performance. I think they were welcomed by players like Shoes Mashero later on. They were welcomed by the senior players like Cyril Nzama. I think the welcoming was very positive. And, you know, they earned the respect of the senior players because they were well-developed players. They were developed to an extent where they didn't struggle to make the grade. In fact, the transition was very smooth. They were such where the senior players gave them all the advice that they needed, and they grew with the first team players.
You know, I'm asking you this question, Farouk, because we spoke to Pule Extend on our newspaper earlier during the week. He said quite a few interesting things about the development players at Chiefs and how they are being treated and how they are made to feel at Kaizer Chiefs. Did you read that story, Farouk?
I read the story and it was quite a surprise to me that was the case, because from my experience, Chiefs is a very well professionally run team. They run their matters or their team in a very professional manner, and that comes from the top, from Kaizer. He insists that everybody gets treated with respect and fairness. I've never had an incident where, you know, players were treated differently. I don't know when players are on their own what they get up to, but in our presence as technical staff, in our training, it was always a case of mutual respect.
Yeah. Now, with you being the head during that time, did you ever hear or experience something like this while you were still at the club, Farouk?
No, I never experienced that. Okay, players will always have their own differences. You'll always have players not agreeing on everything, but that's normal. Even with professional players, you have your differences, but they settle it amicably. You know, there's nothing held against each other. There's no gripes, no grudges whatsoever. So, you know, those things you must expect in football, where not everybody is going to like everybody at one time or the other, but you work together, you are professionals, and you work out your differences out, you know, individually and collectively. There's nothing that you can say was how can I say, hatred for each other or disappointment for each other. They were very amicable. I mean, I'm glad to say the results proved it. We had so many positive results that you could only do that if the team was in harmony.
Now, Farouk, just one last question before I let you go. As a development coach during at that time, though, how did you make sure that players coming through from the development to the senior team are settled? Did you have some sort of a relationship? You mentioned this earlier, even with the communication with the senior coaches regarding things. I mean, these youngsters were promoted at the time.
Look, there was a very good relationship I had with Mushin. Mushin used to come watch my trainings. And in fact, when Mushin invited me to come across, it was a time when Patrick Mbutu and Chabu went AWOL and the team lost the league by a point, and he asked me please to come across, because there were so many players from the academy that were playing in the first team, if I would come. And I took the opportunity with both hands. I think he gave me a very good opportunity to grow into coaching in the professional ranks. And what I must say is the players as such were well-developed players. I think currently we have a problem in that we're always pointing fingers at establishments, at clubs and coaches without ensuring that the player is properly developed. No coach will leave out a player because he's from development. No coach. I can remember when Jabu Pule was promoted, he immediately made an impact. Now, if you look at, I know X-Team mentioned the salary thing. If you look at Jabu,
sure,
he made sure that the club realized his value and rewarded him accordingly. Mm. If you look at Pule, and everybody's up about Chiefs not paying him the salary he wants, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
If you look at the number of games he played versus the goals he scored, sure, versus the assist he made, do you think it justifies the amount of money he wants? In fairness, we have to be fair to the club as well.
Sure.
He hasn't done enough for them to pay him the salary he wants. Even if he's a crowd favorite, it doesn't interpret into him being a player that is contributing to the extent of what he wants to earn. You know, young players must understand one thing. When they're given an opportunity, they took him from a mine team at 20 years old.
Mm.
What can you develop with a player of 20? Very little. You can only do so much to improve him, because his development cycle has come close to an end.
Sure.
So if he was 16 or 17 years, then you could expect that they had more time to work with him. So they could only improve. He's a very technically good, gifted player, very explosive player. But tactically, there's a lot of work that still needs to be done. Decision-making has to be improved. Goal scoring has to improve. So when you look at it from that perspective, if you're sitting in that seat and you have a player who's contributed X, but he wants Y, you've got to consider and say, is he worth the money that he wants? And to be quite fair, I don't think he was worth $100,000 a month based on his performance. Because if you look at him, he's 28 years old. What more can they do to further develop him? Only so much. I think under Merindog, he would have improved as a player tactically, but it would have taken a while for him to reach the level of what he expects. And you can't compare his salary to the players that he brought from outside. Those players have gone there, established themselves, and that is why Chiefs have signed them.
Mm-hmm.
He came from the development. If Chiefs didn't sign him from the mines, he would have probably still been playing somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? But given this platform, I think, in fairness, Pule should have persevered and proven himself on the field. And I'm quite certain if he had done that, Chiefs would have increased his salary to what he wanted.
Wow. Mr. Farouk, I guess I will have to let you go, my good sir. You've given me all the answers that I wanted. Thank you so much for your team. Any words that you want to pass out to Coach Peter Mosimane? He's got a very important game for Sundowns tomorrow against Wydad. Any message of support to Sundowns?
Well, I think Sundowns is not only representing themselves, they're representing the country. I think what Coach Pizzo has done has proven that local coaches have what it takes to make the grade in Africa, as he's done now, without a doubt. The brand of football that they're playing, I think we have to really compliment him, compliment the team, compliment President Motsepe for making it possible that he has given him the tools and has given him the time and the opportunity to achieve the success. Let's hope that they give Wydad a good football lesson tomorrow, and let's hope that they go through and represent us for that second star for Sundowns.
Yeah, Farouk, thank you so much for your time, my good sir, and hopefully we'll chat soon. Sokala Duma Radio. Right, ladies and gentlemen, that is Farouk Khan. He's the former head of development right there at Kaizer Chiefs. Now, to tell us more on this story, we had a gentleman who conducted an interview with Pule Extin this Wednesday. Clint, I'm sure you read the story. What did you make of the story, and what do you make of what Farouk Khan is saying about what is happening at Kaizer Chiefs in the development and Pule Extin?
Yeah. Shane, thank you, and thank you to all the listeners that are tuned in and listening to the story. Firstly, to Masebe, one of the best interviews I've read in Sokala Duma in a long time. Mm. So congratulations. A lot of people think this Q&A is quite easy, but certainly getting people to talk, especially a former Kaizer Chiefs player to talk to Sokala Duma, was a massive coup for the readers, and I hope everyone appreciated the length that you went to make that happen. So well done. An excellent, excellent interview. You can hear the emotion. You can hear the sadness coming out of this guy. When you had him on the line, what was the overriding emotion? It sounds like he's disappointed to leave Kaizer Chiefs in this way, a club that he's done so much service for. And yes, Chiefs have done a lot for him. But what was the mood of the interview when talking to him?
Thank you, Clint, for that wonderful intro, and thank you, Shane, and Simon. Yeah, when I spoke to Pule, I must say that he was very, very, very disappointed. That's one thing I picked up from talking to him, and he was just honest. He was just honest about everything I asked, and he sounded to me like he was still in disbelief. It was like it was a dream, but what I'm happy about is that he was still able to give us the answers that I was looking for. So yeah, it was a very sad interview and emotional.
Okay. He seems surprised at what developed here. In his eyes, clearly he feels he's done enough at the club to establish himself as a recognised player, as one, an entertainer, which the Chiefs fans want, which the South African soccer fans want. So he ticks that box. He hasn't given them any trouble. I know Farouk Khan spoke of Jabu Pule Namakhlangu back in the day, and certainly, yes, they rewarded Jabu, but certainly there were issues with Jabu while he was at Kaizer Chiefs. That didn't seem to happen with Extin to that extent. He was a good professional. He's 28. We're talking about a kid who's joined at 20, but let's be honest, at 28 as a player in his position, he's looking at possibly his last big move. So he's looking for a big signing on fee. He's looking to set himself up financially. Does it sound like he was being greedy? Does he sound ashamed of asking what he was asking for? Does he feel like he was in his rights to ask what he was asking for?
Yeah, he believes that what he was asking for is what he deserved. He says to me this season, when he looked at his contribution to the club, it was probably his best since he started playing for Kaizer Chiefs. And the understanding he had with Coach Ernst Middendorp when he arrived on how he wanted him to play and contribute to the team, he says the coach was impressed and he was satisfied with the progress, and he was looking forward to starting a new season with the coach, as we all know that the coach joined halfway through. So he was looking for that so that he can start afresh and then be a part of the coach's team and the plans going forward. And he said to me, like, he wasn't asking for much. He was asking for a raise, and the club wasn't prepared to meet him halfway. And so there's a point here in the interview that where he says to me, the money he was asking for wasn't that much. He was just saying, okay,
but
I can't be on the same salary that I was on in the previous contract. So all I'm asking for is a raise so that I can continue. So yeah.
Without breaking away from what you're saying, Butmasebe, did he mention the amount of money he was looking for at Kaizer Chiefs, stuff like that?
No. I think that one, let us leave it out because because of the confidentiality of of things like that, we can't, I'm not prepared to say it because, yeah.
Okay, let me jump in here because let's be honest, in South African football, unlike in the rest of the world, there is so much secrecy around money in this league, and you've got to start asking questions. Why is there no transparency in what players earn? In Europe, we know what Pogba was bought for, and we know what he's earning on a weekly basis. In Spain, we know what Messi's new contract, what he's asking for, and what he's earning on a weekly basis. Why is it in South Africa that these numbers are not made available? Because at the end of the day, soccer is entertainment, and money causes excitement. We want to know who is the highest paid player in the league. When it comes to figures, I believe Farouk Khan himself mentioned in the interview there that 100,000 was too much for a player like Eckstein. If you look in our Sia Gaboza section of the paper this week, the speculation is that Eckstein was on around 50,000 K a month, if I'm not mistaken. He was offered in the region of 60,000, so 10,000 more. As a possible last big contract, I would assume if those are in fact the figures, that 10,000 is not that big a jump for someone who it's a short career. He was looking for 100,000 a month. And if we look at some of the highest earners in the PSL at clubs, there are players earning between 200 and 300,000 a month. So for a player like Eckstein in his prime, who's got a lot to offer, who clearly was in Coach Mindendorp's plans, he said, Coach Mindendorp, in his interview, if I'm correct, Masebe, Coach Mindendorp came to him and said, the management don't want me to play you because of the contract issue.
Yeah, I said that, yeah.
However, I need you. I want you to play. So the coach clearly wanted him. So that's let's tick the box. Does the coach want you in your team? Yes, he does want you in the team. There also seems to be a very special relationship between Eckstein and Bobby Mutong before contract was discussed, to the point where Eckstein says, I looked for Bobby on the stands when I scored a goal. Me and him had a relationship. Now, you can't just be a squad player or an average player to be able to go up to a guy like Bobstack and say, let's have this bet together. There's got to be a special relationship, so which means Bobby respected him and he respected Bobby.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, this was clearly a case of a player knowing his worth but not being valued by the club at the same level. I've also got to ask question marks around why he would have gone in on his own to sign his release papers. I would have liked the agent to have been with him. You don't want to do that as a player on your own. I think thinking back, maybe the agent possibly feels maybe he should have been there to protect his player a little bit more or just give him a bit of moral support. But yeah, that's with regards the question to the numbers that they were talking, if our sources are anything to go by, Shane.
Yeah. As discussed by Clint Roper and Ubud Masebe Qina. And now, Dave, join us. They've just walked into the room. Those are the two big men there in Beaver Nazo and also Ulunga Adam. Like I said earlier, these are the men that I grew up reading their interviews. They are here. I'm sitting with them right here in studio. We'll hear from them a little bit later in the show. But gentlemen, I think that should be it for this story of Pule Eckstein. I think now we should move on because of time to the game between Sundowns and Wydad Casablanca for tomorrow at Lucas Moripe Stadium. Okay, we're still here. Tune into Sokala Duma Radio live on a Friday. Now, Earlier on in the show, we spoke to former Mamelodi Sundowns goalkeeper. He was the number one goalkeeper. He was in post when Mamelodi Sundowns lost to Al Ahly back in 2001, and that is John Tlale. But before we move on to his interview, we have in studio Ubud Ulunga Adam. Budlunga, welcome to Sokala Duma Radio Live. Kunjani, Bud?
All good, Buti. Nice to be here and speaking to the listeners.
Budlunga, this is a big game. This is a big game. And if you remember correctly, this is not the first time that Mamelodi Sundowns have been required to come from behind. We'll remember their game back in 2016 against AS Vita, the game which they won. Many fans were saying it was through the back door. The 2-1 loss at home, and also the 1-0 loss at home at Lucas Moripe Stadium. Now, Sundowns are faced with a daunting task of overcoming that 2-1 deficit against Wydad Casablanca. Do they have the legs to run 90 minutes tomorrow and produce a performance that they produced against Al Ahly a few weeks ago?
I definitely think so. Maybe not in the same vein as the Al Ahly game where we will see 5 goals or so, but I think they have it in them. And you got to look at the plan and how Pizzo plans for opposition and also how he manages his team with the tight schedule that they've got. So I do believe that he'll come up with the right starting lineup in line with the game and what they want to achieve on Saturday.
Now, you are coach Pizzo Mosimane. You are faced with this huge, huge game. They played a game on Wednesday against Black Leopards, and there was a pairing in that midfield of Nascimento and Umusa Lebusa. When you're playing this kind of game, an all-important game, do you still stick with that lineup that you played with against Black Leopards, or do you bring in now the big boys like Yoane Arendse to lead the pack going into this game?
I think I would go for experience more than anything else. Sure. Players who have experienced the situations like this, especially in African competition, and the Yoane Arendse is one of those guys that I think should be there. Maybe even though the boy that you mentioned, Lebusa, did well in the first leg, I think I would sacrifice him for Yoane Arendse, because he brings more to the team, especially also when you look at the attack when in terms of set pieces up front. So I would, that's the one major change that I would make in the team.
Sure. Now, and also looking at this Mamelodi Sundowns team, this is the same team that went on back in 2016, because starting from the goals, Dennis Onyango was there back in 2016. Mm-hmm. He's still there. You've got your back four of Tebogo Langerman, of Ricardo Nascimento, of Yoane Arendse. They're still there. Your midfield pivot of Uhlompho Kekana and Umabunda, they are still there. Your Lafour is still there. The only people who are not there is just Kama Biliad. It's Lafour who is injured, I think. There's also Upesita, who is also not there. But majority of those players who won this title for Sundowns are still there. Will that work in favor of Sundowns, or will the experience of Wydad, because they are also former champions, they won it just after Sundowns won it. This will be an interesting, huge, huge game.
Yeah, very, very interesting. And I think that would also stand Sundowns in good stead, because these players know each other very well and they've formed a bond on the field. And most of them are leaders in their own right. You've got Kekana, who can lead. You've got Mabunda. You've got Ngonga. They've got tons of experience. So I think, come Saturday, that's what will stand them in good stead.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we also had a chat with former Mamelodi Sundowns goalkeeper, that was Ujohn Tlale. He was there, like I said earlier, when they lost to Al Ahly back in 2001. Yeah, he was also there. This is how his interview went.
Sokala Duma Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, now on the line we've got Mamelodi Sundowns legend. He was the goalkeeper during that final first leg in Pretoria and the second leg right there in Cairo versus Al Ahly. On the line we've got John Tlale. But John, welcome to Sokala Duma Radio. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm well, my brother. And you?
Very well, Budam. A fixture that looks difficult on paper, but this team, that Sundowns, they can overcome this Wydad Casablanca tomorrow.
Yeah, possibilities are there. No reason. Being now they're playing at home, they'll have a crowd behind them, and what I can tell you is that I think They must just have to attack from the word go, and they must make sure that they get that early goal that's going to unsettle the opponents, you know, in order for the opponents to open up, because they'll try to attack to get more goals, and then that's when they'll punish them.
Sure. You were once in a similar position back in 2001, I remember vividly, but you guys were on the front foot against the Angolan team, Petro Atletico, but they now known as Petro de Luanda. You led 2-0 here at home, but almost gave away the lead in Angola a week later, losing 2-0, winning on penalties. You were the one who was saving some of those penalties. How did you guys do it, and how can this Mamelodi Sundowns overcome this 2-1 deficit against Wydad Casablanca tomorrow?
Yeah, like I said, you know, they need to get an early goal to in order to unsettle Casablanca. And then you know what happened? Casablanca learned to attack because of if they end up the score, if it's what do you call it? Maybe the score they don't concede at home. It's gonna put them under pressure. They'll be winning because of they scored away from home, you know. So if they score 1-0, they lead 1-0, they'll go through. So it's going to unsettle Casablanca, and then immediately and they unsettle them, they're going to play a different ball game. And then that's where Sundowns will get an advantage to punish them because of their playing at home. Like I said, the crowd will be behind them, you know, and you know, everything is possible for them, you know, to get the result.
Sure. Budam, you guys are the legends at the Mamelodi Sundowns team, and you guys made it to the final back in 2001. This team has made it back in 2016. They won the competition. They're now in the semis, on the brink of making yet another final. Do you guys maybe sit down as legend and advise this current crop of players, or do you maybe feel like they done it better than you guys? How is it going?
No, you know, I think they've got a management that always speaks to them, you know. As much as I'm not a part of the team now, I don't know what's going on when they're there, but I always communicate with Mambush and other guys, you know, but I don't know how they operate so far. But one thing that I can tell you is that please make sure that everything is there, settled down, is you know, you make the players to settle, you know, it doesn't put them under pressure. And immediately if you're not under pressure, that's when you can give your best, you know, in the field of play.
But how different is this current group of players of Sundowns as compared to your generation when you were playing back in 2001? What's the difference between your generation and this current team of Sundowns?
You know, if I want to compare, it will be unfair to compare because of the style of football is not the same like before, you know. And look at the players that are playing lately. They are not the same players that they used to play before. Like, I'll make an example of Al Ahly. You know, everyone knew that Al Ahly was one of the best team. No one ever did not know that one day they lose 5-0 to Sundowns, you know. So it tells you there's a difference now, then and now, you know. So it's a bit quite difficult for me to compare those that old times and now.
Yeah, Budam, before I let you go, your prediction for tomorrow's game, Wydad, Sundowns?
Yeah, Sundowns going to score 3.
Sure.
And then Wydad going to go 1. Score 1. 3-1 okay. In favor of Sundowns, yes.
Sharp. Budam, thank you so much for your time.
Pleasure, man. Thanks. Soccer La Duma Radio.
You are still tuned in to Soccer La Duma Radio. It is a Friday. Clint, we heard what Ujohn Tlale said about this game. He's a legend. He's been there. He's ran this race with Mamelodi Sundowns. He's been to the final, but he fell in the last hurdle. But this current group of players, they know all about this CAF Champions League. What do you think about what Ujohn Tlale said about this current team and compared to their generation?
Yeah, look, there's no doubt that Sundowns of the past were an unbelievable club with an unbelievable crew of players, legends, and so many names that came out of that generation and dominated in the PSL. But I think the modern-day Sundowns, I think what they have that not very many other teams in the PSL have and not very many teams on the continent have is a Pitso Mosamane. Mm. You got to take your hat off to this guy. He's done it at various teams with not a lot of money, smaller teams, and he's now done it in a big team. And we've seen with the likes of Mourinho and now even Ole at United, sure. Just because you've got a lot of money and just because you've got star players doesn't mean you get the team to perform. Here's a guy who in the PSL is fighting on multiple fronts and doing well. And while a lot of people are going, well, this game's got away from Sundowns, we forget they just need a 1-0 win to go through. They got the away goal. That was their main objective. Yes, it would have been great to come away with a draw. They lost the game, but they got the away goal. And in this format, that's vital. I think they have enough about them to go and get the one goal. If they do happen to concede, they've got enough about them, as we saw against Al Ahly, to score a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth. They do have that firepower. I like what the club's doing as well. They are saying to South Africa, yes, this is a Sundowns team, but it's a South African flag that we're flying.
Sure.
And I see Pitsos in particular likes to make this about a South Africa on the continent, and it's important for us. And it's also great to see Alex Shekwane coming on board, saying to South African soccer fans, whether you're a Sundowns fan or not, come in yellow, we'll let you into the stadium.
Sure.
Or I think it's 20 Rand if you don't come in a Sundowns shirt. So they're looking to fill the stadium, get people excited about Champions League football. And I think we'll hear from Alex a little bit later. But certainly the Sundowns fans, I believe, are very excited about this one as well.
Yeah. Talking about the Mamelodi Sundowns fans, last night we sent out to our socials for the voice message from Mamelodi Sundowns fans so they can send in their voice notes, send in their words of encouragement, their words of support to their team. And this is what they had to say.
I'm Vusi Mathebula from Ekangala. I would like to wish all the best to my team, Mamelodi Sundowns, on Saturday at Lucas Masterpieces Moripe Stadium. I just want to say, please, my players, just be ruthless in front of goals. And please make sure that you keep your concentration level always on high. Please concentrate more. Yeah, Kabuyelo, 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 we'll take it, we'll take it.
From an Orlando Pirates fan and a proud South African, I would like to take this moment and wish Mamelodi Sundowns all the best in their return leg in the Champions League. Make us proud, make South Africa proud, and do yourself a favor. Make yourself proud, because I know you want this more than anyone. You the players, you the management, all you the team. You want this more than us. So as South Africa, we wish you all the best, Mamelodi Sundowns. Kabo Yelo, we love you. Represent South Africa.
This is Changisa from Davidson in Johannesburg. It's not a question of what Sundowns need to do, but a question of what is facing Wydad in order for them to get to the final. Firstly, they'll be playing at 1,335 meters above sea level. Kickoff time is at 1,500 hours in Pretoria. No team outside of South Africa has ever won a game against Sundowns playing at that time of the day. That is over 63 CAF games in total. Every opposition has failed to win. So Wydad will be faced with that daunting task in front of them. And if they can overcome that, then they will be deserved winners. I think it is pretty much as straightforward, as simple as that. Sundowns are a formidable unit when it comes to playing at home. And having had the away goal, which they so much craved, a 1-0 win is enough. And you always know that in Pretoria, as Peter would say, there are goals in Pretoria. And he has promised a minimum of 3 goals. So it's going to happen. So Wydad will have to come out and play at some stage. And if they try to do that, they will be punished. Thank you. Sokala Duma Radio.
And that was the Mamelodi Sundowns fans voicing their opinions, voicing their support towards their team. Now, we also had Alex Shekwane, who had a lot to say about this match, towards also about the Mamelodi Sundowns, about the free entrance into the stadium. Like Clint said, if you are wearing yellow, you are going into free. But if you are wearing any color other than yellow, you will have to pay 20 rand. And this is how our interview with Alex Shekwane went.
Sokala Duma Radio. Mamelodi Sundowns is writing a history book. You've got to be part of that history. Now, the only way you can be part of that history is when you attend this game. After Saturday's game, we will have qualified for the final. If we qualify for the final and you are not there, you are not a Sundowns supporter. I'm urging all supporters to come in big numbers. We as Mamelodi Sundowns Football Club, we have invited all soccer-loving people of this country to come glad in yellow. Those are the people who will be allowed free entry in the stadium on Saturday. But also those who will be wearing the other colors of their respective teams will pay half the price, which is 20 rand. We are also having artists to perform on the day. We have Bo Malinga, we have Bo Casper, we have Bo Doctor, a couple of top artists and DJs will be performing on the day. So what's important is for people to come early, because the match starts at 3 o'clock. So the performances will start much earlier. So after the game, there will be no performance. So if you miss coming earlier, you'll be missing out on the artist who will be performing on the day.
Mr. Goldfingers, how ready are the boys and how prepared is the coach going into this second leg against Wydad?
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable if you can see the mood of the players. I mean, those who have seen the Leopard Sundowns game will tell you that Sundowns players are used to playing back-on-back games. We've been doing this for the past 5 years, so the players know what is expected from them. So we are focusing on the game. We just need to focus on the preparation and winning the games. And the boys are geared up, and they are ready. And I can tell you, as professionals, come Saturday, you'll be surprised at what you're going to see.
Yeah, Mr. Goldfingers, just one last question. What is your message to those supporters who feel like they were hard done by, if I can say, with that loss of 2-1 just a week ago?
They should take comfort of the fact that Sundowns has scored one goal away.
Sure.
Sundowns has never scored a goal against Wydad away. And they should take comfort of the fact that when playing at Lucas Masterpieces Moripe Stadium in Attitude, Sundowns will always score. There's never a time when we don't score when playing an international game at Lucas Moripe.
Sure.
So the only thing is how many goals we're going to score, but we are going to score. And we did break the ice by scoring an away goal when we played against Wydad in Morocco.
Sure. Good luck, Mr. Shakwane, on the game on Saturday.
Thank you, my man. Thank you for wishing as well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Soccer La Duma
Radio. That is Mamelodi Sundowns BRO. It's Alex Goldfingers Shakwane telling us more about this Mamelodi Sundowns game. We heard a lot from him. We heard a lot from John Tlale. We heard a lot from the Mamelodi Sundowns fans regarding this game. Now, before I move on to the UEFA Champions League, I need to just to take the predictions for tomorrow's game, Sundowns versus Wydad. Clint, let me start with you. Sundowns versus Wydad?
2-0 Sundowns.
David? Sundowns?
3-1 Sundowns.
Put Viva.
2-1 Sundowns.
All right. All these gentlemen here, they've got all their score predictions set up for tomorrow's game. Now we'll change the tune and we go to and talk about the UEFA Champions League, and we'll welcome David Capel.
Yeah, thanks, Shane. First time on the show live with you. It's a pleasure chatting to you. Hello to our readers, listeners. What an amazing two games. We look back at Ajax against Tottenham Hotspur. The young guns came out guns blazing at London Stadium and came away with a crucial victory. Barcelona against Liverpool, you know, it was arguably one of the best games I've seen over the last 2 years. And of course, Barcelona had Messi on top of his game.
Yeah. You know, talking about these two games, it started all at Tottenham Hotspur. Tottenham Hotspur versus Ajax Amsterdam. Then it went on to the big game of Liverpool and in Barcelona. Many people, there's still second leg to be played, and this game is still wide open, but many people are talking about Johan Cruyff. They're saying wherever he is smiling down, he is hoping for a Barcelona Ajax Amsterdam final.
Yeah, everyone is talking about the Johan Cruyff final, you know, and right now it's looking good. I mean, Ajax got a crucial away win at Spurs. They look very, very comfortable. They have knocked out Real Madrid. They have knocked out Juventus. They play football the right way. They're the youngest team left in the competition. They've spent the least money, but they just don't seem to be fazed about it. You know, they have a great unit. It's almost the same players that lost 2 years ago against Manchester United in the Europa League final. But they kept on going, and they look very strong. Barcelona, on the other hand, I don't think they will give away a 3-0 lead against Liverpool. I mean, Liverpool played a very, very good game.
Sure.
But when they conceded the goals, it was against the run of play. And I don't think they can come back from a 3-0 against this Barcelona side. Yes, they've lost 3-0 last year at Roma. But I think they've learned from this mistake. Messi said in the beginning of the season they want to win the Champions League this year. They want to be the ones that dethrone Real Madrid, who've won it you know, the last 3 years in a row. So I don't think they will give it away.
Yeah, this is an Ajax team that beat big teams on their way to this semi-final. Remember, they beat Real Madrid. They beat teams like Juventus. Now they are on their way to beating Tottenham Hotspurs. Clint, a huge, huge game. Barcelona, Liverpool.
Yeah, look, the Barcelona-Liverpool game, I think in the end, for those who watched it, maybe the score was a little flattering for Barcelona, because certainly for about 20 or 30 minutes in the second half, I thought that Liverpool actually bossed the game. Mm. They were able to have a lot of possession, have a lot of the ball. It was interesting that you have Barca, who usually are very selfish with possession, playing on the counter to a certain extent for both their second and the third goal was obviously just unstoppable, world class. But it could have been four right at the death as well, again on the counter attack, which is it just shows you the versatility of the team. I tend to agree with David. I think against any other team, Liverpool might have a chance, but they will be very cognizant of the fact that they're still fighting for the league title. And depending on what happens and injuries and squad selections, it'll be interesting to see what they do in the second leg. Do they put out their strongest team and chase the game or not? Mohamed Salah against the post in from about 6 yards out. How often do we blame PSL strikers for not being able to finish? But there we see one of the best players in the world doing it. So that was quite interesting to watch. It's exciting. It's exciting times. I think what was interesting is that the newly crowned best player in the EPL, Liverpool's defender, after the game, said that there is no solution to Lionel Messi, and he's just glad he doesn't have to play against him more than in the Champions League, and that he doesn't have to be in Spain. And I think it's just such an honor to watch this this Messi story continue to grow and unfold, and be around for that. And as well as Ronaldo, who's probably watching that and licking his lips at the next Champions League campaign, because he wanted to do the same. For me, the story of the Champions League is this young Ajax team, and I truly think they've got a chance if they get past Spurs to do the job. It's just so exciting to see youngsters with passion, with that much technical ability, go and show the rest of the world what soccer should look like. As Dave said, not a lot of money spent on them. It's an Ajax business model. They develop them and they export them. But wow, how sad it will be for this team to be dismantled. Dave, got to ask you a question. How much will Son's reintroduction to the Spurs team for the second leg help? And how much is Harry Kane's injury hurting Spurs in the Champions League right now?
Spurs, Son, I mean, obviously is a huge, huge player for Spurs this season. Whenever Harry Kane was injured, it's not the first time that he's out this season. Son has stepped up. He scored over 15 goals and assisted over 10 for them this season. You know, he's that type of player that doesn't seem to be fazed by, you know, how big the occasion is. He's stepped up to fill the void left by Harry Kane. And he gives them, you know, a complete new level to their game, because when he was missing in the first leg, they had Llorente, but Llorente doesn't have the legs, you know, to play that fast counter-attacking game that Spurs want to play at times, you know, when they just catch the ball on their own box and play it long towards Son, and he can run past the defenders, and he's smart enough and composed enough to finish a one-on-one with a goalkeeper. So he will add a massive, massive dimension to this Spurs side. We've seen in the second half of the game where I felt Spurs were better than in the first half. In the first half, Ajax were almost overrunning them with their possession-based style. But in the second half, Spurs were a bit more physical. And we've seen that, you know, this physical game can threaten the Ajax side, the young Ajax side, a bit. So I think he will add he will be a massive bonus for the Spurs side. Harry Kane's absence, of course, is still massive. There is rumors that he might return from injury in time, but at this stage we can't confirm it. If he was going to be available, it would be a completely different ball game.
Based on Son's return and possibly a 75% fit Harry Kane, do you think they can overturn this?
I don't think so. I mean, even the best Spurs side at this moment, I think Ajax are too strong for them. And we've seen, like I mentioned, they've beaten Real Madrid at their own home ground 4-1. They've beaten Juventus at their own home ground 2-1. And they have done it playing beautiful football. They have so much confidence in their style, in their abilities. I don't think they will give it away having come this far. this far.
For the Liverpool fans out there wondering if it's possible to come back against Barcelona, do you think there's a realistic chance of that happening?
You know, it's football. Like Jürgen Klopp said, there's always a chance for a comeback, and we have seen it last year with AS Rome. They lost the first leg 4-1 at the Camp Nou and beat Barcelona 3-0 in the second leg. But once again, I don't think so that it will happen again. Barcelona have learned from their mistakes from last season. They have Lionel Messi in absolute superb form. They can rest half of their team on the weekend already, which will be a massive bonus because they've wrapped up the La Liga title. Liverpool still need to play for points, play for a win in the Premier League. They have to play their strongest 11, while Barca can, in theory, send out the second team and rest everyone for the second leg. I don't think they will give it away.
Okay. Final question. Luis Suarez, former Liverpool player, scores the first one, creates the second one, and celebrates like he's won a World Cup. What was the reaction from the Liverpool fans to having an ex-Liverpool modern legend, if you will, celebrate like that? A lot of other players, Ronaldo, for example, doesn't celebrate when he scores against United. What is your reaction to that? Do you think players who move around clubs should be celebrating goals for their current fans?
Liverpool fans were very upset. They were not happy because obviously, like you say, they consider him a Liverpool legend. He's done a lot for the club. He's been their best goal scorer in recent times. But he said before the game even that he would celebrate. You know, he has that mentality where he says, on the pitch, there's no friends, there's no history. I play for Barcelona. I want to win with Barcelona. I want to win the Champions League with Barcelona. Personally, I think that's a good attitude to have. It's something that sets him apart from the rest of the players because you can see he's going to give it all for the current club. He's forgetting about the history and everything that was there, friendships. You know, he's one of those players that want to win by all means. And you saw it in the goal. I don't think many other strikers would have got to that ball and poked it in against one of the best defenses in the world currently.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's it from David Keppel, bringing us the big game between Barcelona and Liverpool. Also, the game against Ajax Amsterdam up against Tottenham Hotspurs. Liverpool has done it before. I remember back in 2004, 2005 season, back there in Istanbul, Liverpool coming back to beat AC Milan, one of the strongest AC Milan teams of all time. A team that consisted of the likes of Cafu, Dida, Pirlo, Seedorf, players like Kaká. Liverpool, they made it. They won and won the UEFA Champions League back in 2005. Now, we are wrapping up this moment of the UEFA Champions League. And my mind is still in the CAF Champions League. Eh? We are wrapping up the UEFA Champions League. Now, we are moving on to one segment of the show, which is the Premier Soccer League, a game which will be played tomorrow at Athlone Stadium. There's Cape Town City there and Orlando Pirates. And now I need to introduce Mr. Ubiva now. So he's right here with us. Ubiva, welcome to Sokala Duma Radio. Kunjani but.
Thank you, Shane, and good afternoon to you and the listeners of Sokala Duma Radio.
Yeah, Ubiva, there's a big game tomorrow at Athlone Stadium. A big, big game for both teams. Coach Benny McCarthy, he's also made some comments in the media throughout the week that he's ready for this team. His players are ready, but he's without some of his most influential players leading up into to this game. And their last game, which they played against Chipa United, which they won. Many people saying that they got 6 points in one game or 6 points in one day. They're coming up a fired up Orlando Pirates team, which is chasing for the league title. How do you see this game panning out?
Well, Shane, this is going to be a very, very difficult game for Pirates, you know, because one, they are playing away, and two, they are playing a Cape Town City team that is coached by their legend, Benny McCarthy. And surely he would want to get one over Pirates. But then again, looking at both teams, how balanced they are and how they play, and looking at their past three games, I would think that Pirates will eventually win the game, even though it's not going to be easy.
Yeah. All right, Budbiva, we'll come back to you shortly. We also had a chat with one of Orlando Pirates' prominent supporters, that is Dejan. This is how our interview with him went.
Sokala Duma Radio.
And ladies and gentlemen, on the line, we've got Dejan. He's one of the Orlando Pirates' prominent supporters since back then. I can't remember even when I was born. When I was born, this guy was still an Orlando Pirates fan. But on the line right now, we've got Dejan. Dejan, welcome to Sokala Duma Radio. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks yourself. Everything okay, my brother? Nice to hear from you again.
My brother, I hope with that, now that I'm talking to you, you are not in Johannesburg, you are in Cape Town, because your team is playing tomorrow against Cape Town City. How is your mood? How is the mood with you, the supporters?
No, the mood is fantastic. You know, the supporters are preparing themselves. Obviously, you know, all the branches, they come over to see that match, because that match is very important for the Pirates. And that match, he will take the Pirates to be the champion if they win, you know. And as I'm talking to you, you know, the supporters are coming from the all over the country. You know, even I have the information that the supporters from the Botswana, they're arriving in the Cape Town, and they're going to be there in the big number, making sure supporting Pirates and making sure that at the end of the day become victorious as a team. And please, all the supporters, because without the supporters, it's not a game, you know, and make them happy, clinching and making sure that they can be able to lift the title and be the champion of the PSL.
Dejan, the last time your team came to Cape Town, you came down back to Johannesburg. You were a little bit disappointed. What are you hoping will be the change this time around against Cape Town City, especially now that you are chasing the league title?
Look, it's not easy to play in the Cape Town. You know, the Cape Town City is a big opponent for the Pirates. And look, it's nothing big for the Pirates, actually, to be honest with you. Pirates, he can destroy and punish anybody he plays with. But a little bit difficult, you know, the altitude, the weather of the Cape Town, you know, this is the what they actually Pirates have to acclimatize. But this time around, they know it themselves, and all the players, and this, and it doesn't have to be any motivation from the technical department, technical team, because the players themselves, they know exactly what you have to be done. That is the way how they can be able to win the championship and make a draw only with a win in the capital. That is, I take them to win the championship, because the last game in Orlando against them, Polokwane City, that is going to be the easy game for the Pirates, making sure themselves that the title is going to be belongs to us, to the Orlando Pirates.
Now, Dejan, there's been a story about one exciting player from your rivals, Kaizer Chiefs, Pule Hendrik Eksteen. I'm sure you know about him. There's a rumor now linking that particular player to your team, Orlando Pirates. How would you, as Orlando Pirates fan, and welcome Pule Eksteen, should he join your team? How are you feeling with this whole story linking Pule Eksteen to Orlando Pirates?
Look, depends on what Pule Eksteen discuss with the Pirates, if he discuss anything, you know. But let's be honest, you know, if the club needs the Pule Eksteen and they wanted him, obviously, I don't know where he's going to go or whatever, but I'm just talking because we're talking about the Pirates and the links that the Pirates is interested in him. Let's ever see what is going to happen, because also as well, you must remember that Pirates has got many players which they play on that position. So the question is the one. Also as well, we have to check it and look how many players Pirates they're going to release on the end of the season and what is going to be happen. Can the Pule Eksteen really play in the first 11 of the Pirates or not? That is another question. So it's not going to be that easy, you know, but if the Pule Eksteen is coming to the Pirates and is sure that he's going to play, then it's fine, you know, then it's great. Let's wait and ever see what can be happen.
Sure. Dejan, do you know Joaha?
Yes, I do.
Do you know Mama Joy?
Yes, I do.
When you and Mama Joy and Joaha are sitting down discussing the players for Orlando Pirates, do you discuss the name Pule Eksteen?
Look, look, to be honest now, because the lately I cannot be able to say to you because we didn't discuss, and especially now, what is going to happen, because, you know, now it's end of the season, so we didn't really discuss what is going to happen. Did Paul Ekstein is coming to the Pirates or not? What is going to happen and how it's going to happen? You know what I'm trying to say?
Sure. Okay.
Yes, that is it.
Now you personally, as Dijen, would you like Paul Ekstein to join Orlando Pirates?
I don't have the problem with that myself. If the club is interesting and they want to bring the Paul Ekstein to come and play in the Pirates, then it's fine, it's great. But if not, then good luck to the Paul Ekstein, wherever he's going, you know?
Do you love him?
It's my friend. Why not? I don't have nothing against him. He never did anything to me, but it's my friend. I've been with him a couple of times together on his own tournaments and kind of the things like that. Sometimes I meet him in this.
Yeah, I know you've sat down with him. You've had a couple of drinks with him. But if Dr. Ivan Khoza were to ask you now, Dejan, do you want me to sign Paul Ekstein? What will you tell Dr. Ivan Khoza?
I will definitely tell him, sign him. Sign him, because I can see that, because if the Dr. Ivan Khoza asked me that question, then obviously he's interested and he wanted him there. So I don't have nothing against it. You know what I'm trying to say?
All right. All right. I will have to let you go, Dejan. Thank you so much for your time and good luck for your game tomorrow against Cape Town City.
Thank you very much, my brother. 3 points for Pirates. Pirates is a new champion.
Sup, sup.
Thank you. Bye. Soccer La Duma Radio.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen, that is Dejan. He's saying 3 points for the Pirates. He's saying league champion for the Pirates. Now, okay, we are done with this Orlando Pirates game, Cape Town City. Now, Clint, what did you make of Dejan? He's ducking and diving with my questions to him regarding Paul Ekstein.
Yeah, look, I don't think... I don't think any of the supporters want to get in trouble with their club in terms of telling them who they must and mustn't sign, if we're honest, because sometimes the official number one supporters possibly find themselves in a spot of bother with the club. But I think if you're a Pirates, Sundowns or Chiefs, when there are exciting players that become available, your club wants them.
Sure.
And certainly I think for a Pirates supporter, any signing that they can bring from Chiefs to Pirates is a massive coup. Because that's a road seldom crossed by a player. So it remains to be seen. From what I understand, I believe that Orlando Pirates is winning the race for the signature. But you never know until the ink is dry on the paper as to what's really happening.
Yeah. All right. But Beaver, this, as we said earlier, it's a big game. Pirates versus Cape Town City. There's more of other games that are playing. There's also, if you remember correctly, on Sunday, it is the end of the NFD, last games of the National First Division. But this game, Pirates versus Cape Town City, one last word about this game?
Look, it's quite an interesting game. But again, Pirates has got players like Happy Jele, Musa Nyatama, Wayne Sandilands, Ben Mutswari, and others who have been in these situations before, and they know how to handle such situations. So, again, I'm saying that Pirates are going to win this game. And by winning this game, they will be winning the league.
Clint?
Yeah, you know what? I just don't think Benny McCarthy is... he never was a player who respected a club's badge or their history.
Sure.
We saw that when he scored twice against Man United for Porto and knocked them out of the Champions League. And as a coach, he hasn't shown much respect for tradition or big name status either. We've seen what he's done against the big clubs in South Africa. And I think that's the most dangerous part about Benny McCarthy. He's on a mission to prove himself as one of the best young South African coaches in the country. And he would love to get the CV of Sredojevic on his win on his win card, and would love to get an Orlando Pirates scalp on his win card, regardless of the fact that he's played. Or there will be he will do what Suarez did to Liverpool and celebrate a victory against Pirates by running around the stadium and making sure that he doesn't push anyone's mothers.
Yeah. All right. That is Clint Roper and Mr. Ubi Vanazo telling us more about this big game tomorrow at Athlone Stadium at 3 o'clock. That is Cape Town City taking on Orlando Pirates. Ladies and gentlemen, we also had a voice note from Upinki and also Utembi Khachane about this IAAF ruling with regards to Ukasta Semenya. But because of time, we couldn't play their voice notes today. Make sure you'll be tuned in on Wednesday when we are having the big issue on the side. We'll be discussing this IAAF issue with Ukasta Semenya. Yeah. All right, gentlemen, one final word before we close the show.
Yes, I think so. Firstly, to everyone who's tuned in and listens to us, and to everyone who downloads the Soccer Laduma podcast, thank you for doing that. It's a new platform, it's a young platform, and it's an exciting platform, and it's great to be involved. And any feedback that we can get, whether that be via the social channels or just emailing us at editor@soccerladuma.co.za to improve the offerings, we'd love to hear that. Remember that a lot of our show is a springboard from what happens in the paper on a weekly basis. And while there are many print publications out there dying, Soccer Laduma remains one of the biggest in the country. This edition in particular is massive. We've got X-Theme pouring his heart out about Kaizer Chiefs and what happened, his side of the story.
Sure.
We've got Darren Keat. This should be a Days of the Lives issue because there's so much drama in here. But we've got Darren Keat, who's out of contract, hasn't signed. Well, he's coming out of contract, but has said that Mamelodi Sundowns has contacted him. Orlando Pirates has contacted him. But here's a big one. Kaizer Chiefs have been in contact.
Wow.
What does that mean for Itumeleng Khune? One has to ask. So those are the kind of questions. But go and read that that interview. There's also Tusa Pala on the back, who's talking about the next stage of his career. An emotional, very, very emotional interview. And of course, Siya Boza, which is alone worth the cover price of the newspaper. All the hottest Siya Boza in the country. So if you haven't got this week's edition, go get it. We'll do our best to keep on bringing you the best soccer stories in South Africa.
All right, folks, I think that should be it for today's show. Thank you so much for listening. For those of who just joined in, you can download the issue just after this live episode. From me, myself, Olwethu to Matsoyane, and also my producer, Theo Simon Schiller, we thank you so much for listening, and it is goodbye for us.
Soccer Laduma Radio.
Soccer Laduma Radio.